Levin Management Corporation, a North Plainfield, New Jersey firm, is celebrating a milestone in 2017. The company's marking 65 years in business. It's an impressive achievement, particularly in the perpetually fluid and competitive commercial real estate services industry. The privately held company is maintaining a diversified retail-focused management portfolio of about 95 properties totaling 13 million square feet throughout the Northeast and Mid-Atlantic states. We had an opportunity to chat with Bill Farber, the CEO of the company, and Matthew Harding, who's the president and chief operating officer. And they said one of the secrets of the company's success is focusing on making sure that its retail shopping centers have a really good supermarket or grocery store in the mix. Bill Farber became chief operating officer of Levin Management in 1985 and chief executive officer in 2001. That same year, Matt Harding, who's been affiliated with the company since 1986, assumed his current position. Farber and Harding have led the company's expansion and have overseen the emergence of Levin Management as a trusted single-source commercial real estate services provider for both institutional and private owners. I'm glad we could have a chance to get together. I know you guys are celebrating an anniversary. Tell me what's going on. Tell me, you know, what's your perception looking back on all the years the company's been around?
I guess I could say from my standpoint, I haven't been there for the whole 65 years, but I've been there for most of them. And for me, the greatest satisfaction in all of this has been not only seeing, but bringing about the transformation of a family proprietorship style business to what I consider to be a full-fledged, first-class corporate-run organization and all of the sophistication that goes with it. We started off at Levin in the days when there was manual entry bookkeeping. We struggled and kicked and screamed all the way into automated accounting. We kicked and screamed all the way from typewriting with carbon copies to electronic typing to word processing. And I've enjoyed seeing this whole evolution. And I look at where we are today, and we consider ourselves to be truly state-of-the-art.
What's the secret of longevity? I mean, you know, you've been through a lot of changes. There have been a lot of market cycles since the company was started. How did the company have such success navigating all those changes where other companies maybe didn't do as well?
The management company typically is an adjunct to a leasing brokerage company. And that type of business is generally very much subject to the vicissitudes of the market, the very cyclical nature of real estate. And consequently, those types of businesses, as you probably know, have somewhat of a rate of failure. The Levin organization is based on what started out as a family-developed, family-owned and operated portfolio. And not only is it a portfolio, but it's a portfolio of assets that were assembled and developed by a man who was, to say that he was prescient about what was going to happen after World War II with regard to the impact of the automobile on people's shopping habits would be to make a gross understatement. This man had the opportunity to develop retail properties literally when they were still farms. And he had to do was look at road maps, see where major highways intersected. As years went on, he was able to learn and understand the projected development of the interstate highway system. And he just had the pick of the litter when it came to excellent retail sites. That was followed up by developing a tremendously credible reputation with both retailers and lenders. And the end result was a very, very stable, family-owned and operated portfolio. And that portfolio is now basically the core of our management portfolio. and it provides an element of financial stability that makes us as durable as anybody in our business could possibly be.
How has the company changed over the last 60 plus years? It was mostly shopping centers in the beginning. Is the focus still really on the bricks and mortar retail, or are you transitioning to other things?
No, the emphasis is very much on brick and mortar retail. We are a boutique firm. We believe in the adage, shoemaker, stick to your last. We have developed a specialty of managing retail properties, and that's what we do. We consider ourselves the best of the breed when it comes to doing that, and we don't wander off the course. Diversification in terms of management product is not something that we have a tremendous amount of interest in. We do have a slight diversity, but it's incidental.
Matt, I'd love to hear from you and hear your perspective on some of this.
Certainly, yes. I've been affiliated with a company since 1986, so I've seen several decades here as well. Not nearly as long as Bill, but for a good period of time. And as Bill mentioned, the transformation of the company over time from really the management company, really primarily or nearly 100% managing properties, the Levin family portfolio of properties. Over time, we started doing management services for an institution at the beginning, and now just really with the growth of our portfolio over that period of time, it's come to where about 40% of our managed and leased portfolio are Levin family properties, the original group. And through growth, we're up to a little over 60% are for third parties, all different kinds, from institutions to private owners. And over time, we've expanded our services that we provide to owners of retail properties to really where now we do absolutely anything that an owner of a retail property needs. From
what are some of the services you've added?
Sure. You start with the fundamentals that we had of management and leasing. We now provide quite a bit of construction management as well, overseeing expansions, renovations, or tenant build-outs that are connected with a lease. Marketing, we have a very strong marketing department now where we help marketing properties specifically, some lifestyle centers, for example, where we have a little more active marketing programs that we've worked on. And over the last 12 to 18 months, we've kicked in a program of doing some digital marketing for shopping centers as a whole, really making that bricks and mortar stores and collection of stores and shopping center present digitally. So when people are doing searches for a certain product or so forth, it can show that, hey, you don't have to wait a day. It's right here a mile down the road and so forth in the shopping center, and really helping the retailers in the shopping centers take advantage of the good parts of e-commerce and digital advertising, and really being able to take themselves and reach out to customers in a specific geography that can really be pretty well fine-tuned. So, that's a very interesting thing that we've been doing recently. And we help, from insurance, we help folks when they're clients, when they're underwriting and looking at an acquisition. We do quite a bit of that and provide quite a bit of value in that process as someone's evaluating an acquisition. So really, soup to nuts, whatever the owner of a shopping center needs.
Over and above the construction management and all of that that's associated with leasing, one of the things that we really do best and like to do is repositioning a property entirely, changing the character of it. That can start with a physical facelift renovation, and it can go from there into reconfiguring the tenant spaces, and from there on into redistributing the tenant mix and redefining the nature of the shopping center. And because of the challenge that brick-and-mortar real estate faces today, because so many use categories are really almost being preempted by internet selling. The challenge is for us to develop uses that are unique to brick and mortar, that don't lend themselves to internet selling, and repositioning properties and presenting properties in almost a different light to make sure that they continue to have a reason for being.
I was going to ask you, what are some of the ways that you're defending the bricks and mortar properties from the e-commerce onslaught? It seems like everybody is focused on e-commerce now, and retailers are having to be much more clever about how they position the properties.
First and foremost is trying wherever possible to make sure that we are anchored by a modern, up-to-date, full-strength supermarket. Because outside of the cities where you have the internet food selling, such as Fresh Direct, in the suburbs, grocery food shopping is still a hands-on, go-to-the-store experience. And the shopping center that has the best supermarket is the shopping center that has the most chance of success, internet or not.
What's next? After you get a shopping center, after you get a supermarket in there, what's the next thing that you're looking for?
What happens after that? A supermarket generally will give rise to, I guess you would say, collateral convenience uses, uses that are much more likely to be incidental parts of a food shopping trip.
We've also been adding entertainment and restaurant tenants to centers as well. Gyms as well. Also, you know, that bring customers to the property at different times during the day. We've done a number of gyms over the last 5 years of, you know, from small 2,400 square foot deals up to 40,000 square foot deals. Those really have turned out to be a good tenant for shopping center, where in the past, I think retailers were a little more skittish about having a gym near them. But really, it's changed the way people use gyms a little bit. They're in and out a little bit. They don't stay quite as long. I mean, it brings people to the shopping center in the early in the morning and the end of the day as well. Recently done a transaction with Dave & Buster's, which has been a great addition to a shopping center, and any number of restaurants. And we're trying to do things like add outdoor seating opportunities, patios, and so forth that add life to the shopping center, where, you know, outdoor dining, tables, umbrellas, and so forth, places for people to hang out as well.
What are the plans if internet retailing makes inroads into some of these others? Obviously, people are not going to go to the gym online, but they certainly might get greater opportunities to purchase groceries and some of the other convenience purchases that the centers are depending on. What do you do then? What are some of the things you're looking at?
I think Matt answered that almost completely in his description of shifting the nature of the shopping center to an entertainment place, a town center type of environment that is conducive to, I hate to use the expression, it's such a cliche, but conducive to hanging out.
It becomes more like a live and play rather than a live work play, but it's more like a place to go to have fun rather than to specifically buy things.
That's right. There's a development proposed down near where I live, near the Jersey Shore. They're proposing a very, very large retail complex. And when I used the word hang out just now, I lifted that word from the developer, because his whole pitch to the planning and zoning people is this is going to be a place where people want to come to hang out, to dine, to work out, to listen to entertainment, to do casual impulse shopping and browsing, and even people who buy online still enjoy looking at stores. When you get down, when you get to the end of the day, most people are using fashion as an example, like to look, feel, and touch. And this is how we are approaching the challenge of the internet. But as I said before, first and foremost, the supermarkets of the modern era are so much more than supermarkets. They have vast offerings of prepared food. They border on being almost restaurant dining experiences on top of being food markets. And they make themselves just a drawing attraction just by virtue of what they are. And it's compelling.
It's interesting. Tell me a little bit about the company. It started as a family-owned company, and I gather the family members, at least the founders, have passed on from the press release that I have. Is the family still involved at all? How's the company structured?
Philip Levin was the founder of the company, and if you were to research the history of shopping centers, Philip Levin, along with people like Ed DiBartolo, Melvin Simon, Taubman, these handful of guys actually are considered to be the people who invented shopping centers. They didn't even have a name for them when these guys first started building them. After World War II, everybody was able to buy a car, and suddenly people were taking their cars to go shopping. And suddenly the downtowns didn't offer parking. And there was a handful of visionary guys who understood, first of all, the whole concept of financing and leverage, and understood location, and realized that retailers who were in town were dying to get out of town and offer direct adjacent parking to their stores. And that's how shopping centers started. And the Levin family, Mr. Levin, developed relationships with key anchor tenants. Specifically, he developed relationships with Acme supermarkets and stores that no longer exist of the five and dime variety nature, W.T. Grant, Woolworth, Corvette, and the like. All became regular repeat clients of his. And he developed almost a cookie-cutter approach to developing shopping centers for this specific mix of tenants. That formed the basis of what became a family-owned and operated business. We laughingly look back at it, and those of us who lived through it call it a candy store because it was run by the family on a totally manual, simplistic approach. And the company stayed like that from the time of Mr. Levin's death, which was in 1970, through some part of the stewardship of his widow, who succeeded him in the business, Janice Levin. And Janice Levin was a forward-thinking woman who basically enjoyed being the head of the business, but wanted to basically do, I guess, what you would call value added to this portfolio that her husband built. And she, and I'll take a little bit of credit with her, just basically focused on the idea that management should be a professional thing and the property should be run and the office should be managed professionally. Once the office was being managed with that approach and that philosophy, as Matt said to you before, it was completely natural for us to offer the services to third parties. And of course, now that's the focus of the business. And that, in a nutshell, is the evolution of the company.
But how is the company actually organized? Is the Levin family still involved in the company, or is it a trust?
The Levin family has no involvement whatsoever. Mrs. Levin, who was the head of the business for almost 30 years, passed away in 2001. And the company was left in the hands of professionals. There are family heirs who participate in the property by way of trust and limited partnerships with no management involvement.
Let me ask you to look in your crystal ball, and are there things in the future on the economic horizon that you are watching carefully, maybe not completely concerned about, but things that you don't want to see happening that could be, you know, difficult for the business going forward, down the road?
I'll leave that to you, Matt. You're in charge of the future.
Geez. You know, we are obviously, you know, there's a lot in the press these days about retailers closing stores and so forth. But a lot of those things do provide opportunity. We're redeveloping a shopping center that had an A&P in it. We're going to take down that building and a good portion of the rest and really turn that center into something 100% better than what it was before. So we do see a lot of opportunity in the future as things change. If you have the involvement, knowledge, and history, you could be able to rework these properties, as Bill said before. You know, we have some properties that we've probably redeveloped and re-tenanted 2-3 times and so forth. We're doing a lot of that now, a lot of planning. So, you know, we see great opportunities in the future. In the future, there probably will be less retail space. But that's secondary kind of stuff that you know may well be converted into other uses that also you know provides other opportunities to redevelop into a change of use, some kind of adaptive reuse into something else. So, barring another recession and so forth, we're looking forward to a lot of activity in business in the coming years.
Well, that was the next question: is external factors, any external risk factors that you're keeping a close eye on?
We wrote the history book on how to live through retail bankruptcies because, as I told you before, Mr. Levin developed these relationships with given tenants who were in all of the shopping centers. Almost all of these tenants, not the supermarkets, but all of the variety store, department store tenants that he originally did business with and with whom he basically developed these centers, all went bankrupt eventually. And it put us in a position of having to redevelop and really, in many ways, reinvent these shopping centers. I mean, to give you an example, we were the largest single-owner developer of the Corvettes chain of department stores, if you remember those.
Sure, of course. Old you were.
I can't
Best Buys from, yet. Best Buys yet, E.J. Corvettes.
That's right. Those stores were enormous footprint, two-level stores. They had adjacent related licensee businesses that they took down with them when they went, furniture stores, tire stores. And we basically were left with gaping holes, difficult configurations, really requiring total reimagination and reinventing. And if you were able to do that, if you had the skill and the resources, it represented not a catastrophe, but an opportunity. And we survived all of those, one after the other. And we think really, in terms of how to deal with adversity and how to meet challenge, we think the mega retail bankruptcies were our baptism by fire as far as dealing with change and dealing with catastrophic change.
So you're pretty much ready for anything that comes along.
That goes back to Philip Levin. He steadfastly refused to develop enclosed malls, regional malls. All of his cohorts, the names I mentioned, Simon, DiBartolo, Taubman, all went the way of malls. I'm not saying these guys weren't tremendously successful. They were. But Philip Levin basically perceived that in good times or bad, people are going to go to the food market, they're going to go to the drugstore, and they're going to go to get their daily needed incidentals. And that is what we are all about, and that's why our properties have the resiliency and the durability that they have.
This is good. Thank you very much for taking the time. I appreciate it, and best of luck on the next 65 years or so. Bill Farber is the CEO and Matt Harding is the COO of Levin Management Corporation in North Plainfield, New Jersey. The company is celebrating 65 years in business this year. For GlobeStreet.com, this is Steve Lubetkin, State Broadcast News.